Tractate 8 John 2:1-4. Part 1. The miracle indeed of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby he made the water into wine, is not marvelous to those who know that it was God's doing. For he who made wine on that day at the marriage feast, in those 6 water pots, which he commanded to be filled with water, the selfsame does this every year in vines. For even as that which the servants put into the water pots was turned into wine by the doing of the Lord, so in like manner also is what the clouds pour forth changed into wine by the doing of the same Lord. But we do not wonder at the latter, because it happens every year, it has lost its marvelousness by its constant recurrence. And yet it suggests a greater consideration than that which was done in the water pots. For who is there that considers the works of God, whereby this whole world is governed and regulated, who is not amazed and overwhelmed with miracles? If he considers the vigorous power of a single grain of any seed whatever, it is a mighty thing, it inspires him with awe. But since men, intent on a different matter, have lost the consideration of the works of God, by which they should daily praise him as the Creator, God has, as it were, reserved to himself the doing of certain extraordinary actions, that, by striking them with wonder, he might rouse men as from sleep to worship him. A dead man has risen again, men marvel, so many are born daily, and none marvels. If we reflect more considerately, it is a matter of greater wonder for one to be who was not before, than for one who was to come to life again. Yet the same God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, doth by his word all these things, and it is he who created that governs also. The former miracles he did by his word, God with himself, the latter miracles he did by the same word incarnate, and for us made man. As we wonder at the things which were done by the man Jesus, so let us wonder at the things which were done by Jesus God. By Jesus God were made heaven and earth, and the sea, all the garniture of heaven, the abounding riches of the earth, and the fruitfulness of the sea, all these things which lie within the reach of our eyes were made by Jesus God. And we look at these things, and if his own Spirit is in us, they in such manner please us, that we praise him that contrived them, not in such manner that turning ourselves to the works we turn away from the Maker, and, in a manner, turning our face to the things made and our backs to him that made them. And these things indeed we see, they lie before our eyes. But what of those we do not see, as angels, virtues, powers, dominions and every inhabitant of this fabric which is above the heavens, and beyond the reach of our eyes? Yet angels, too, when necessary, often showed themselves to men. Has not God made all these too by his word, that is, by his only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ? What of the human soul itself, which is not seen, and yet by its works shown in the flesh excites great admiration in those that duly reflect on them? By whom was it made, unless by God? And through whom was it made, unless through the Son of God? Not to speak as yet of the soul of man, the soul of any brute whatever, see how it regulates the huge body, puts forth the senses, the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the nostrils to smell, the taste to discern flavors, the members, in short, to execute their respective functions. Is it the body, not the soul, namely the inhabitant of the body, that doth these things? The soul is not apparent to the eyes, nevertheless it excites admiration by these its actions. Direct now thy consideration to the soul of man, on which God has bestowed understanding to know its Creator, to discern and distinguish between good and evil, that is, between right and wrong, see how many things it does through the body. Observe this whole world arranged in the same human commonwealth, with what administrations, with what orderly degrees of authority, with what conditions of citizenship, with what laws, manners, arts. The whole of this is brought about by the soul, and yet this power of the soul is not visible. When withdrawn from the body, the latter is a mere carcass, first, it in a manner preserves it from rottenness. For all flesh is corruptible, and falls off into putridity unless preserved by the soul as by a kind of seasoning. But the human soul has this quality in common with the soul of the brute, those qualities rather are to be admired which I have stated, such as belong to the mind and intellect, wherein also it is renewed after the image of its creator, after whose image man was formed. What will this power of the soul be when this body shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality? If such is its power, acting through corruptible flesh, what shall be its power through a spiritual body, after the resurrection of the dead? Yet this soul, as I have said, of admirable nature and substance, is a thing invisible, intellectual. This soul also was made by God Jesus, for he is the Word of God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made. When we see, therefore, such deeds wrought by Jesus God, why should we wonder at water being turned into wine by the man Jesus? For he was not made man in such manner that he lost his being God. Man was added to him, God not lost to him. This miracle was wrought by the same who made all those things. Let us not therefore wonder that God did it, but love him because he did it in our midst, and for the purpose of our restoration. For he gives us certain intimations by the very circumstances of the case. I suppose that it was not without cause he came to the marriage. The miracle apart, there lies something mysterious and sacramental in the very fact. Let us knock, that he may open to us, and fill us with the invisible wine, for we were water, and he made us wine, made us wise, for he gave us the wisdom of his faith, whilst before we were foolish. And it appertains, it may be, to this wisdom, together with the honor of God, and with the praise of his majesty, and with the charity of his most powerful mercy, to understand what was done in this miracle. The Lord, on being invited, came to the marriage. What wonder if he came to that house to a marriage, having come into this world to a marriage? For, indeed, if he came not to a marriage, he has not here a bride. But what says the apostle? I have espoused you to one husband, to present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Why does he fear lest the virginity of Christ's bride should be corrupted by the subtlety of the devil? I fear, saith he, lest as the serpent beguiled Eve by his subtlety, so also your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity and chastity which is in Christ. Thus has he here a bride whom he has redeemed by his blood, and to whom he has given the Holy Spirit as a pledge. He has freed her from the bondage of the devil, he died for her sins, and is risen again for her justification. Who will make such offerings to his bride? Men may offer to a bride every sort of earthly ornament: gold, silver, precious stones, houses, slaves, estates, farms, but will any give his own blood? For if one should give his own blood to his bride, he would not live to take her for his wife. But the Lord, dying without fear, gave his own blood for her, whom rising again he was to have, whom he had already united to himself in the virgin's womb. For the Word was the bridegroom, and human flesh the bride, and both one, the Son of God, the same also being Son of Man. The womb of the Virgin Mary, in which he became head of the church, was his bridal chamber, thence he came forth, as a bridegroom from his chamber, as the Scripture foretold, and rejoiced as a giant to run his way. From his chamber he came forth as a bridegroom, and being invited, came to the marriage. It is because of an indubitable mystery that he appears not to acknowledge his mother. From whom as the bridegroom he came forth, when he says to her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. What is this? Did he come to the marriage for the purpose of teaching men to treat their mothers with contempt? Surely he to whose marriage he had come was taking a wife with the view of having children, and surely he wished to be honored by those children he would beget. Had Jesus then come to the marriage in order to dishonor his mother, when marriages are celebrated and wives married with the view of having children, whom God commands to honor their parents? Beyond all doubt, brethren, there is some mystery lurking here. It is really a matter of such importance that some of whom the Apostle, as we have mentioned before, has forewarned us to be on our guard, saying, "I fear, lest, as the serpent beguiled Eve by his subtlety, so also your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity and chastity which is in Christ," taking away from the credibility of the gospel, and asserting that Jesus was not born of the Virgin Mary, used to endeavor to draw from this place an argument in support of their error, so far as to say, "How could she be his mother?" to whom he said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Wherefore we must answer them, and show them why the Lord said this, test in their insanity they appear to themselves to have discovered something contrary to wholesome belief, whereby the chastity of the virgin bride may be corrupted, that is, whereby the faith of the church may be injured. For in very deed, brethren, their faith is corrupted who prefer a lie to the truth. For these men, who appear to honor Christ in such wise as to deny that he had flesh, do nothing short of proclaiming him a liar. Now they who build up a lie in men, what do they but drive the truth out of them? They let in the devil, they drive Christ out, they let in an adulterer, shut out the bridegroom, being evidently paranymphs, or rather, the panderers of the serpent. For it is for this object they speak, that the serpent may possess, and Christ be shut out. How doth the serpent possess? When a lie possesses. When falsehood possesses, then the serpent possesses, when truth possesses, then Christ possesses. For himself has said, "I am the truth," but of that other he said, "He stood not in the truth, because the truth is not him." 6. And Christ is the truth in such wise that thou shouldst receive the whole to be true in him. The true Word, God equal with the Father, true soul, true flesh, true man, true God, true nativity, true passion, true death, true resurrection. If thou say that any of these is false, rottenness enters, the worms of falsehood are bred of the poison of the serpent, and nothing sound will remain. What, then, is this, saith one, which the Lord saith, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Perhaps the Lord shows us in the sequel why he said this, "Mine hour," saith he, "is not yet come." For thus is how he saith, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And we must seek to know why this was said. But first let us therefrom withstand the heretics. What says the old serpent, of old the hissing instiller of poison? What saith he? That Jesus had not a woman for his mother. Whence provest thou that? From this, saith he, because Jesus said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Who has related this, that we should believe that Jesus said it? Who has related it? None other than John the Evangelist. But the same John the Evangelist said, "And the mother of Jesus was there." For this is how he has told us, the next day. There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And having been invited to the marriage, Jesus had come thither with his disciples. We have here two sayings uttered by the Evangelist. "The mother of Jesus was there," said the Evangelist, and it is the same Evangelist that has told us what Jesus said to his mother. And see, brethren, how he has told us that Jesus answered his mother, having said first, "His mother said unto him, in order that you may keep the virginity of your heart secure against the tongue of the serpent." Here we are told in the same Gospel, the record of the same Evangelist, "The mother of Jesus was there, and his mother said unto him." Who related this? John the Evangelist. And what said Jesus in answer to his mother? Woman, what have I to do with thee? Who relates this? The very same evangelist John. O most faithful and truth-speaking evangelist, thou tellest me that Jesus said, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Why hast thou added his mother, whom he does not acknowledge? For thou hast said that the mother of Jesus was there, and that his mother said unto him, Why didst thou not rather say, Mary was there, and Mary said unto him? Thou tellest as these two facts, his mother said unto him, and Jesus answered her, Woman, why have I to do with thee? Whatoest thou this, if it be not because both are true? Now, those men are willing to believe the evangelist in the one case, when he tells us that Jesus said to his mother, Woman, what have I to do with thee? And yet they will not believe him in the other, when he says, The mother of Jesus was there, and his mother said unto him, But who is he that resisteth the serpent and holds fast the truth, whose virginity of heart is not corrupted by the subtlety of the devil? He who believes both to be true, namely, that the mother of Jesus was there, and that Jesus made that answer to his mother. But if he does not as yet understand in what manner Jesus said, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Let him meanwhile believe that he said it, and said it, moreover, to his mother. Let him first have the piety to believe, and he will then have fruit in understanding. I ask you, O faithful Christians, was the mother of Jesus there? Answer you, she was. Whence know you? Answer, the gospel says it. What answer made Jesus to his mother? Answer you, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And whence know you this? Answer, the gospel says it. Let no man corrupt this your faith, if you desire to preserve a chaste virginity for the bridegroom. But if it be asked of you, why he made this answer to his mother, let him declare who understands, but he who does not as yet understand, let him most firmly believe that Jesus made this answer, and made it moreover to his mother. By this piety he will learn to understand also why Jesus answered thus, if by praying he knock at the door of truth, and do not approach it with wrangling. Only this much, while he fancies himself to know, or is ashamed because he does not know, why Jesus answered thus, let him beware lest he be constrained to believe either that the evangelist lied when he said, The mother of Jesus was there, or that Jesus himself suffered for our sins by a counterfeit death and for our justification showed counterfeit scars, and that he spoke falsely in saying, If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 7 For if he had a false mother, false flesh, false death, false wounds in his death, false scars in his resurrection, then it will not be the truth, but rather falsehood, that shall make free those that believe on him. Nay, on the contrary, let falsehood yield to truth, and let all be confounded who would have themselves be accounted truth-speaking, because they endeavor to prove Christ a deceiver, and will not have it said to them, We do not believe you because you lie, when they affirm that truth itself has lied. Nevertheless, if we ask them, Whence know you that Christ said, Woman, what have I to do with thee? They answer that they believe the gospel. Then why do they not believe the gospel when it says, The mother of Jesus was there, and his mother said unto him? Or if the gospel lies here, how are we to believe it there? That Jesus said this, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Why do not those miserable men rather faithfully believe that the Lord did so answer, not to a stranger, but to his mother, and also piously seek to know why he did so answer? There is a great difference between him who says, I would know why Christ made this answer to his mother, and him who says, I know that it was not to his mother that Christ made this answer. It is one thing to be willing to understand what is shut up, another thing to be unwilling to believe what is open. He who says, I would know why Christ thus made answer to his mother, wishes the gospel, in which he believes, opened up to him, but he who says, I know that it was not to his mother that Christ made this answer, accuses of falsehood the very gospel, wherein he believed that Christ did so answer.